Football guru David Legg. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
David, the field is now set for the 16-team Africa Cup of Nations finals after a recent qualifying competition. We'll go group by group, David, and get your analysis. But first, as I look at the 16 qualified teams, 9 former champions that will be competing in Equatorial Guinea beginning in January. However, the reigning African champion Super Eagles of Nigeria, not among them. Let's begin with Group A, David. South Africa tops the table with 12 points, followed by Congo Brazzaville with 10, Nigeria with 8, and Sudan with 3. Your thoughts?
Sonny, there's just one word to sum up Group A: crazy. I mean, Congo, they lose at home to South Africa, they lose at home to Nigeria, and they still qualify. And Nigeria, who I believe everybody in Africa from Cairo to Cape Town expected to win this group with the other 3 countries battling for second place, they did have a great chance. They were at home to the team that they always seem to beat, South Africa, in their final match, but could only manage a 2-2 draw against a South African team that played the last 20 minutes with 10 players, and also a South African team that led 2-0 after 49 minutes. 2 goals from the new star of Bafana Bafana, Tokelo Ranti. He plays for Bournemouth in the English Championship, which is effectively their second division. And he scored a great goal. Vincent Inyama, to me, is the best goalkeeper in Africa. And Ranti hammered the ball past him just before halftime to give Bafana the lead. To the credit of Nigeria, they did fight back. They didn't give up. And a substitute, Aluko, he scored twice, the second goal 4 minutes into stoppage time. That still would have been enough for Nigeria if Congo Brazzaville did not win in Sudan. But they did. They won 1-0. So as you said, Sonny, South Africa 2 points ahead of Congo, and Congo 2 points ahead of Nigeria. But truly crazy form. And now, of course, the big question, as always, will be, what about the future of Stephen Keshi? He's been hired, fired, hired, fired, and hired again. This can't go on. There has to be some sort of certainty. I must say, at the final whistle, Sonny, in Uyo, in that magnificent stadium in the south of Nigeria, Keshi looked a little bit lost. He looked like a rabbit in the headlights. My guess is that he will go, and I think Nigeria will turn to a European coach. But what's sad is that the momentum built by Nigeria by winning the 2013 Nations Cup and then doing reasonably well, they did get to the second round of the World Cup in Brazil, I feel that's going to be lost now. And when the new man comes in, assuming they make a change, it's basically starting all over again.
Turning to Group B, David, the Desert Foxes of Algeria, very impressive at this year's World Cup. Top the table with 15 points from 6 matches. That was the highest tally of any African team in the qualifying competition. Mali makes it to Equatorial Guinea. They have 9 points in the table. And Malawi and Ethiopia with 7 and 4 points, respectively. Your thoughts on this group, David?
Going into the final matches, Sonny, Algeria, as you said, they had done the job. They had easily qualified. And so it was all about who was going to finish second. And Mali, after 2 consecutive defeats, they must have been worried by the visit of the Desert Foxes, but they finally found some of the form that we've learned to expect from the Malians, 3rd in the last 2 Cup of Nations. And a goal from Seydou Keita, their star midfielder in the first half, set them up for a 2-0 win over the Algerians. And that basically put pay to any chance Malawi or Ethiopia had of snatching the second place. The Algerians, Sonny, the most impressive African team in Brazil at the World Cup, taking the eventual champions Germany to extra time in the second round. They, I guess, are going to be many people's early favorites to win the 2015 Cup of Nations, and they certainly have been impressive. And they're no longer relying exclusively on Feghouli, the Valencia wide midfielder. They have found a new star in Yassine Brahimi. He plays for Porto in Portugal. He scored 3 of the qualifying goals, and he's looking very impressive indeed. So this Algerian side are growing as time goes by. And while I wouldn't make them favorites yet, they're certainly going to be one of the favorites come Equatorial Guinea next January.
Turning to Group C, David, Gabon and Burkina Faso win the tickets to Equatorial Guinea. Gabon, the 2012 Nations Cup co-host with Equatorial Guinea, tops the table with 12 points, followed by Burkina Faso with 11, Angola and Lesotho with 6 points and 2 points, respectively. How do you see that group, David?
Yes, honey, this was a group dominated from the start by Burkina Faso and Gabon. The expected challenge from Angola never materialized. They lost their opening 2 matches. While Lesotho were always going to be up against it, they were very much the minnows of this group, and in fact had done really well to beat Liberia and Kenya to get to the group phase. And so the question going into the final rounds was really academic one. Who's going to finish top between Gabon and Burkina Faso? And in the end, Gabon shaded it by 1 point by beating Lesotho 4-2 in Libreville, while Burkina Faso, who've gone off the boil a little bit recently, they remember hammered Angola 3-0 in Luanda. That was the performance of Group C, in my opinion. But they can only draw 1-1 at home with the Angolans, so they have to settle for second place. But it is academic, Sonny. I want to stress that. Finishing first or second will have no influence over the seedings. That is done on the performances in previous Africa Cup of Nations tournament finals. So academic to some extent, but I suppose it's always good psychologically. It's a morale boost. We did finish top of the group, and in this case, it was the Panthers from Gabon who topped Group C by 1 point from the Stallions of Burkina Faso.
In Group D, David, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon, after a very disappointing World Cup performance in Brazil, where they lost all 3 of their matches, they bounced back with, I think, one of the better Nations Cup campaigns. They topped the table with 14 points from 6 qualifiers. The Elephants of Ivory Coast also advanced to Equatorial Guinea with 10 points. The Democratic Republic of Congo makes it to Equatorial Guinea as the best third-place team. The DR Congo with 9 points. And at the very bottom, Sierra Leone, racked by the Ebola crisis with only 1 point. Your thoughts on Group D, David?
Yeah, Sonny, you make a good point about Cameroon. Normally, I like to praise players rather than coaches, but in this case, I'm going to make an exception and say well done to Volker Fink, the German. After that utterly disastrous World Cup where everything went wrong on and off the field, it was just shambolic. Who would have blamed that 65-year-old if he'd said, enough is enough, I'm going home to Germany, I don't need this in my life. But he stuck it out. Many people thought he was crazy. And he's been rewarded, Sonny. Cameroon unbeaten in one of the toughest groups. But sadly, a rather farcical end to their match against the Ivory Coast in Abidjan, which ended goalless. What happened is, with 3 minutes of stoppage time looming, the Ivorians decided to play keep ball in their own half of the field, kept passing it among themselves, passing it back to the goalkeeper. I was also very disappointed with the Cameroonians. They made no attempt to come over the halfway line into the Ivorian half and challenge for the ball. Now, Africans were very, very angry and upset way back in 1982 when a similar situation developed in a World Cup match between Austria and Germany. They just went through the motions, and that meant that Algeria failed to make it to the knockout stages. But now, right here in the Félix Houphouët-Boigny Stadium in Abidjan, we had something that African football does not need. And this nonsense went on for about 4 minutes before the referee, thankfully, blew the final whistle. But is this what Ivorian football has been reduced to? This is a side that have been favorites to win the last 5 Cup of Nations titles. And here they are, afraid to attack Cameroon with 4 minutes left, afraid to go and try and score the winning goal, because they feared perhaps that they would concede a goal. And that doesn't all go well for their future, Sonny, of the Elephants in this competition. And also congratulations to the Democratic Republic of Congo, a very up-and-down tournament. They lost 2 of their first 3 home games, and then they won 2 of their first 3 away games. And then in this crucial final game, against Sierra Leone, which I always had a feeling could well decide who finishes in the best third place. They fell behind in the first half, but came back strongly in Kinshasa to win by 3-1. And it's been a pretty good year for DR Congo, with Vita Club reaching the final of the CAF Champions League. And I believe they will be competitive in Equatorial Guinea in January.
David, you mentioned Volker Fink, Cameroon's German coach. How important was it that he gave the boot to Samuel Eto'o, Cameroon's four-time African Footballer of the Year, before this Nations Cup qualifying campaign began?
Oh, I think it was very important, Sonny. I fully acknowledge all the great things Samuel Eto'o has done for African football, for Cameroon, and for the various clubs in Europe he's played for. But he's very much a mixed bag. He comes with skill, but he also comes with problems. And in recent years, I think Samuel Eto'o has been a big part of the problem of Cameroon football. And to the credit of Fink, who obviously had to be very brave to make this decision, he decided that he had to turn things around. And he's been rewarded.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And we'll hear more Nations Cup commentary from David next week. VOA! I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Have a good weekend, everyone. Back to Kim Lewis.
Thank you, Sonny, and listen to The Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 1631 UTC and 1831 UTC. And today, Sonny has an expanded half-hour edition of The Sunny Side of Sports at 1730 hours UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Coming up, the ongoing fight to contain the Ebola epidemic. And next, Angola's government tightening the noose around free expression. But first, some music. Here is Tabule of